The second Bible reading this morning comes from the first letter of Peter, chapter 1 and verses 3 to 9. That's 1 Peter, chapter 1 and verses 3 to 9. If you're looking at the Bibles in front of you, it's page 980, or it'll be on the screen behind me. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, and this is the word of God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. We're going to watch a brief video on the screen.
What a beautiful, powerful piece. Why don't you applaud that message? He is risen. Thank you. Friends, part of the theme this weekend has been that we live in a fractured world, and sometimes the world just seems hopeless. And the war in Ukraine, the Middle East, Myanmar, Sudan, abductions, rape, terrorism. As of 2023, there were 30 million refugees globally, with the global refugee crisis more than doubling in scope in the last decade. Over 120 million people forcibly displaced worldwide due to persecution, conflict, violence, or human rights violations. There are sex slave traffickers, sexual abuse, family violence, marriage breakdown, sickness and death, injustice, poverty, rape, torture, selfishness, jealousy, school shootings, bushfires, floods, earthquakes, cyclones. Where do you find hope in a world like ours? One Easter morning, come with me to this story. A woman was on her way to church, as you were this morning. Her car broke down. Not wanting to be late for the special service, she ordered an Uber to pick her up. The car arrived and she quickly jumped into the back. Halfway through the ride, she asked the driver a question. The driver didn't respond. So picture this, she leaned forward and tapped the driver on the arm. At that point, the driver let out a loud scream. He swerved into the other lane. He almost hit another car. He slammed on the brakes and skidded over to the shoulder. It stopped. The woman and the driver sat in silence for a minute from the shock of what had just happened. Finally, she said apologetically, "Well, I'm so sorry. I had no idea that tapping your shoulder would alarm you like that." He held his breath and he said, "No, you really didn't do anything wrong. It's just that it's my first day driving an Uber. You see, for the past 25 years, I've been driving a hearse." Sometimes you can find hope in the unexpected and surprising things. And friends, the resurrection was unexpected and surprising to the disciples, despite the fact that Jesus had told them about it. Good Friday was a tough day. Arrested, beaten, tried, scourged, mocked, crucified and killed. Dead and buried, or so they thought. The disciples ran and hid. Peter denied Jesus three times. But today's Easter Sunday. He is risen. There is hope for now and hope for all of eternity. Death does not win. Sin does not win. Satan does not win. God wins through the death and resurrection of Jesus. We find peace with God through a crucified Savior. We find hope through a resurrected Lord. And friends, the resurrection, make no mistake, is rooted in historical facts. It's related to our present life, and it is relevant for all of eternity. Christianity stands or falls on the resurrection. We're either the most joyous people in the world or the most foolish people in the world today. If Jesus is dead, if he is still in the grave, if someone just stole his body and we're gathering and singing about him, we are the greatest fools in the universe, says Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. But if you've been raised from the dead, then it changes everything. Jesus said, because I live, you also will live, John 14, verse 19. The late evangelist Billy Graham was once in what was then West Germany. He went to the Chancellor, and the Chancellor said to him, Mr. Graham, do you know what is the most important thing in the world, the most important truth there is? And Billy Graham said, before he could answer, the Chancellor said, the most important thing in the world is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Because if Jesus is dead and buried in the tomb, then I can see no hope for the future of mankind. But if he is raised from the dead, we are all possessed with hope. And this morning I take you to this hope in 1 Peter chapter 1. We hear about, firstly, God's great mercy. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We had Good Friday, but we always go back to Good Friday as Christians. You don't leave Good Friday behind. You don't leave the death of Christ behind and just move on. You have the death of Christ and his resurrection together. That's where we see God's mercy. Where an innocent one, the Son of God, died in our place. He sacrificed his life, as we saw on Good Friday. He became our substitute so we could have a relationship with God. Friends, in 1999, a funeral took place for a fellow called David Wallace. He was a truck driver from a small rural community in northern New South Wales. The obituary in the local newspaper described him as the bravest man in the world. Why did they do that? What's his story? Well, you see, in a holiday break, he had taken his 11-year-old son on a trip to Brisbane carrying some timber. However, on the road, a tragedy struck. He swerved his truck to miss an oncoming car, rolled down an embankment and burst into flames. A tragic accident. Both David and his son were trapped in the truck cab. When rescuers arrived, they heard the cries of the boy. They found that David had laid himself over his son to protect him from the fire. I wish I would have equal courage in that situation. To put myself between the fire and my son to bring, or my daughter to bring them salvation. The son recovered to tell the story of his father, in a sense, taking his place. Friends, in a much more significant, profound way, Jesus gave his life for us to save us from the judgment we deserve. We are now, as we saw on Good Friday, men and women who have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. But 1 Peter moves on, because beyond the death is a living hope. And I think most Australians, and I've done a few funerals around the place, and I've been at funerals of Christians and non-Christians, by the way. And there is a sense with many people in those funerals that even if they don't believe in God, they sort of hope there is a God. You ever experienced that? They hope that there is something beyond death. They're hoping that even though they've never been to church, they don't read their Bibles, they hope that maybe they can reconnect with this person in some type of life in the future. It's a yearning for something more than what most humans experience. Christians have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Christ has defeated death. Our sin has been dealt with. Satan has been defeated and death has been defeated. But you might ask, what is the evidence? How do I know he rose from the dead? Let me just briefly, you in bullet points, give you some of the evidence for the resurrection. Why should you believe it? Why is it a living hope? Why is it a certain hope? Why is it a secure hope? The evidence: the tomb where Jesus was laid was empty. They placed him in the tomb. When the women turned up, there was no body there except the grave clothes. The body was never produced by the skeptics. Some would say that the Jews stole the body or the Romans stole the body. If they had taken the body and Christians started preaching about Jesus' resurrection, you know how that could have killed off Christianity very quickly? Bring out the body. When Christians were preaching about the resurrected body, no one brought out a body. Not the Romans, not the Jews. Some would say, well, maybe the Christians stole the body. Well, the disciples who saw him were willing to be martyred for their faith. If they stole their body, why? For a lie. If you're lying about something, you don't make money out of it. If all you get by lying is your own death, why would you do that? That doesn't make sense at all. Up to 500 witnesses saw him. Too many to be rejected as a hallucination. The start of the church and the break from Judaism point to the resurrection. The Jews are God's special people, and yet you have a small group, because of the death and resurrection of Jesus, broke away as a distinct group. What event in human history would have caused such a breakaway? The resurrection. The women were the first witnesses to the resurrection. Why is this important? I love how God does it. It's the women at the cross. It's the women who were there with Jesus at his burial. It's the women at the resurrection. It's okay, we're 21st century Australians here. But in the first century in Jewish law, women could not give testimony. They could not be witnesses. If you are making up a story about the resurrection, you don't have the women telling the story. Why are the women telling the story? Because that's what happened. And the Bible records accurately the story of the women. The conversion and resulting transformation of Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Previous to his conversion, he was an enemy of Christians. He was rounding up Christians, putting them into jail, and seeing some of them executed. And then Jesus appears to Saul of Tarsus in Acts chapter 9. He says, "Why do you persecute me?" He says, "Who are you, Lord?" "I'm Jesus." He becomes the persecutor of the church to the preacher and the missionary and the Bible teacher of the church. What caused that transformation? He met Jesus. And friends, the resurrection was at the very center of early apostolic preaching. You read, they were preaching the resurrection that makes all the difference. And the good news is that because of this evidence, because of this truth, Jesus offers living hope to the lost and rebellious, the good and the moral. That's one of the beautiful things, that it doesn't matter who you are, what you've done in life, you can have the living hope of eternal life. Kim Hawtrey was an evangelist and a writer. He wrote a book called The True and Living God. And in that, he tells the story of visiting a Russian women's prison. And he went along with a translator. He met the translator, and he said she looked like a regular middle-class person, dressed in street clothes and showing a high level of education. He asked if she worked in the jail, and she replied, "No, in actual fact, I'm one of the inmates." "What are you in for?" "Murder," she said. He took a step back. Yes, well, what happened? Can you tell me why you're here for murder? He said, well, one night I came home, find my husband in bed with his lover, so I killed them both in my rage. I'm serving 10 years. I thought it was pretty good, only 10 years. But before I came into the prison, I was not religious. I began attending the prison Bible study led by the chaplain and came to understand the gospel and accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Saviour. I know I am pardoned by God in spite of my crime through Jesus' death on the cross. I have found both hope and peace in the Lord Jesus Christ. Whoever you are, whatever your background, God offers living hope today. It is hope for those who recognize their lostness and rely on God's mercy in Jesus. The criminal on the cross, where Jesus said, today you'll be in paradise with me. The lying, thieving tax collectors like Zacchaeus, who was converted. The sexually immoral who found grace and hope. It is hope with an eternal perspective. Friends, Agatha Christie, you may have read some of her books, was the number one selling mystery writer. She too believed in the resurrection. She had a little book by her bedside table after she died called The Imitation of Christ. And she was reading about Christ, and inside, she, in her own handwriting, she wrote these verses from Romans 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. It's a great way to go to your death, isn't it? Confidence of eternal life. Is living for God worth pursuing on this earth? Is it worth pursuing? Our economic rationalist age tells us, no, make money, be happy, build your own kingdom. All around us, whether it's on social media, books you read, on the news, it's make money, be happy, build your own kingdom. Yet many people, like you and I, believe there's got to be more than that. And E.J. Carnell, one writer, put it this way. The incongruity between our desire for life and the reality of physical death is the most maddening problem of all. Although we see the handwriting on the wall, we refuse to think that death is our final destiny, that we will perish as the fish in the fowl, and that our place will be remembered no more. We will to live forever. The urge is deeply written or written deep in our nature. God has put it in our hearts to desire more than the here and now. Remember that when you're talking to your friends about Jesus. Sure, they may have been captive to money and wealth and sexuality, but just dare to believe and pray that in certain times in their life, it may be through a tragedy, it may be through a loss of a job, it may be a financial crisis, or something happens to them, then they start to think about life and its meaning. At that point, people are ready to think again. But friends, Christianity is not all about the next life. It is about this life. We're told that having a new birth, eternal life is both a now and a forever thing. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are born again, the Bible says in John 3. Or you are born from above. A spiritual work takes place. Friends, I was born on the 18th of October, 1960-something. But I was born again in July 1975. I had a physical birth, but then I had a spiritual birth when I received Jesus and the Holy Spirit came to live in me to start to fill me and to help me to live God's way, to live with meaning and purpose and direction like never before. We're all called to live this new, radically transformed life. So if you come to Jesus and you know Jesus, then you start to live this beautiful new life with the power of God within you. You're not simply just living and looking forward to heaven. You're living with meaning and purpose now. Let me tell you about John. He attended a New Age Mind's Power workshop, trying to discover himself, to find direction in life, to make life better. He's encouraged to see that he had lived life by playing the role of a victim. The remedy, his New Age teacher told him, was to acknowledge that he was his own God, that he could create his own destiny. Visualize your future. Go and do it. You can do it. There's no one outside of you, it's just you. At first, it seemed to work for him until his business venture collapsed and his wife left him for a better soulmate. He was left living on a park bench. No, there was no one beyond him in his head or his mind or greater than his situation he could depend on. By way of contrast, the resurrection of Jesus offers us meaning and hope. It confirms that there is a personal God who loves us and beckons us into a relationship. You are not God of the universe, let me tell you, in case you're confused. You are not the controller of your destiny. There is a creator, as we sang earlier, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are made for a relationship with him. And now we have salvation through him. We now are born again through him. Now we live this new life. And as things go wrong, we don't do it alone. We do it with God by our side, with his power and his strength. We do not walk alone. We're asked to call God our Father. Daddy, Jesus said. We talk to him. We pray to him. You see, this Christian life is not simply for the future, it's for the present. We are not alone on the journey of life. God understands us. And friends, God has suffered for us. He understands your suffering, your sad days, and your brokenness. But there is a glorious future, finally. And Peter reminds the disciples that as they've born again, they look forward to an inheritance in heaven. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into what? A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. I love that. God protects us until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. Friends, the gospel speaks of the mercy of God, a living hope, a new birth, and a glorious future. All guaranteed by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. We get a great inheritance that no one can take away because of Jesus. But we do live in a fractured world, don't we? It's not just fractured now, it's been fractured for millennia, from the beginning of time, where evil takes place. And sometimes we call out to God and say, God, how long? How long until you come and make all things right? God, how long until people stop being killed? How long until people stop being murdered or raped or tortured? How long, O Lord? And I'll never forget the moment I was at a school spectacular at the Sydney Entertainment Centre years ago, watching people perform songs. And the final song was sung by Faith Hill, called There Will Come a Day. And it's strange because I was listening and I thought, I think she's singing about Jesus. This is a public school spectacular. Great singers and dancers, and this is the final song. Everyone's up there on the stage singing and dancing. And it was a tough period in our world some 20 years ago. And the words go like this. It's not easy trying to understand how the world can be so cold, stealing the souls of man. Cloudy skies rain down and on all your dreams. You wrestle with the fear and doubt. Sometimes it's hard, but you've got to believe. The chorus, there's a better place where our Father waits, and every tear he'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone, the weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith, there will come a day. Wars are raging, lives are scattered. Innocence is lost and hopes are shattered. The old are forgotten, the children are forsaken. In this world we're living in, isn't anything sacred? There's a better place where our Father waits, where every tear he'll wipe away. The darkness will be gone, the weak shall be strong. Hold on to your faith. There will come a day. There will come a day. I'm looking around at this auditorium, at this entertainment centre. I'm watching people singing and dancing and jumping up and down. I thought, if only they understood. If only they heard the words and understood what this is about. Continued, songs will ring out down those golden streets. The voices of earth, the angels will sing. Every knee will bow. Sin will have no trace in the glory of his amazing grace. Every knee will bow. Sin will have no trace in the glory of his amazing grace. There will come a day. I know there's coming a day. Let me ask you four questions as I conclude. Have you received the mercy of God? Are you experiencing or enjoying a living hope? Have you experienced a spiritual rebirth? Are you born again? Are you confident of your eternal destiny? God offers all of these things through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. No wonder millions across the globe are gathering on Easter Sunday today. This day changes everything. And friends, let me say, if you want to know more, maybe you want to explore more, join us for the Alpha course starting on May the 13th. 7 weeks, first week with a dinner and then coffee and dessert, video-based series. We can watch some videos, have some conversations, discussions together. It's going to be a great course to introduce people to Jesus Christ. And on the way out today, if you wanted to read some more, we have the Gospel of Luke, Joy for All People, just to the left there. And this booklet, The Real Easter, please take it, have a read of it. The most important person in the world is Jesus. Know him, love him, follow him. God bless you as you do that.